Brad Hayes, among all the hats that you wear as an academic and a scholar, the one that I have tremendous respect for, as well as the others, is your knowledge of the Supreme Court. I want to go through a little bit of understanding about how this works. The Republicans, when they appointed their crew who are on the court right now, were very smart. They appointed them young. How important is that?
It's very important. I mean, one of the things that the Republican Party has been able to do is in some ways kind of entrench their ideology on the Supreme Court and extend it for what appears to be a significant time, because the current five conservatives on the court are going to be on the court for quite some time. They're not that old. They've been, some of them have been serving for quite some time. And then if you look at kind of recent Bush appointees, they're very young. I mean, you're looking Chief
John
Justice
Roberts.
John Roberts is you know, he's in his 50s and could conceivably serve for 20 plus years.
Sure.
And
or
so
30.
Right, yeah. And so he's going to be there, and many of those conservatives will be there for quite some time. And in that sense, it makes a lot of sense for any president to take age into consideration when making judicial selections.
I don't think these guys, especially on the right, are thinking about jurisprudence as much anymore as they are just political allegiance. Am I wrong?
Well, they're probably accounting for both. I mean, in some ways, you don't have to separate the two. If, in fact, they are conservative ideologues, they're likely voting Republican. They're likely supportive of the Republican Party. And so you, in some ways, can account first and foremost for that conservatism and look at that in terms of the kind of the key issues as you understand them.
Sure.
And then place those individuals on the bench, knowing that, in fact, when the I'll say your issues appear on the Supreme Court, they'll rule in ways that are consistent with what you believe.
Let's talk about Justice Kennedy, who's often seen as the, quote, swing vote. But I think, as the old song goes, he swings to the right a little bit more than he swings to the left.
Yeah, no, he's definitely conservative. I think it speaks to how conservative the current court is that he's the median voter. But he is somebody that I think runs a little bit more in a libertarian direction, which means that for certain kind of social issues, he may be a little bit more inclined to side with the liberal justices on the court, whereas lots of issues relating to the power of the federal government, he grows more skeptical. He definitely sees our federal government as one of enumerated powers, of limited powers and limited authority, and a more robust place for states in the operation of our governmental system. And so that creates a skepticism in the kind of robust exercise of governmental authority.
So when we were listening to his remarks from the court in the Affordable Health Care Act debate, it did seem that you were right on target. He seemed to be very skeptical.
He did seem skeptical. I mean, I don't know that he completely showed his hand, but he did show some skepticism to the individual mandate provision and its constitutionality. I mean, what they kept pushing on, he and Chief Justice Roberts, they seem to be looking for a limiting principle. You know, what is there about the use of congressional authority in the healthcare market that is different than in other markets, in other insurance markets, or in other areas of consumer? Consumerism in kind of in general. So they were looking for that, and I don't think they got an answer that was as convincing as the left would have liked. I don't think it was a great day for the Solicitor General. He seemed to struggle a little bit, and I think that didn't help things. So in some ways, the government's argument seemed to be carried more by the four liberal members of the court rather than the Attorney General himself.
It's always been a forced argument, Brad Hayes, it seems to me, that when we look at this whole question of whether health care should remain with the states or should go to the feds, that it was always forced in that for Congress to start mucking around with this stuff, they had to say, well, health care was an interstate issue and therefore was game for the Congress. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you have to attach it to an explicit power listed in Article 1 of the Constitution, and that means you have to do some work. And this is really about the way in which Congress chose to go about regulating this market. And they chose to do that through the current market structure and to use the current market to increase what they saw as efficiency. Now, that choice, I think, is ultimately what's at issue and what might cause the downfall. There's really no doubt that Congress has the power to create something like a single-payer system. But instead, they chose to use the market, and that may actually be the thing that gets them in trouble in terms of the Supreme Court and its assessment of constitutionality, because they don't see Congress having the authority to force individuals to act and push themselves into a market. And this is one of those questions then that, you know, if decided in a way contrary to the administration, that it will actually in some ways force individuals to take the single-payer system more seriously than they have in the past.
That would be good. Let me very quickly then ask you about the way in which Americans see the Supreme Court. We've only got a couple of minutes now, but in fact, is respect, do we have any sense of whether the court is losing respect, gaining respect?
Out of the three major departments, right, Congress, the executive, and the courts have the highest levels of respect by the American people. That being said, it has declined some over time, particularly since 2000 with the Bush versus Gore. Now, it has not been a dramatic decline, but there has been kind of a slow decline in terms of its approval rating. And I do think that there's a real sense that people see the current court as a politicized body in a way that they did not see the court that way 50 years ago. And so that has an effect. It has an effect in the way that people perceive both the rule of law and the way that the courts go about interpreting and defining the rule of law. So while people still have a lot of respect for the court, you know, I think it is, in fact, on the downslide, but not as much as other institutions in the United States.
Well, Brad Hayes is a great favorite of ours here. He is assistant professor of political science at Union College. He holds a PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland. His areas of expertise include American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions. And he is just a great guy to have here, and we consider him to be our scholar in residence. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.